small town music. This is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis.
I'm April Richardson.
To a lesser extent, I'm David Moore.
And who is in here? Kyle. You know what Kyle's doing?
No.
I don't know the name of the game show, but they're doing it. They're doing, what do you call it? It's not a pilot. They're like testing out a game show.
Yeah.
And he
and
is
he's a contestant or he's writing for it?
No, he's a contestant, but it goes for like 36 or 48 hours and they keep you up the whole time. Like he can't go to sleep.
Oh, that's part of the game?
Yeah. And then they ask you questions and stuff. So they're keeping him and his partner sequestered.
Are they waterboarding him? I don't know how this is a game.
I know he gets $500.
And the name of this game, U.S. Special Forces Interrogate You.
It's called Guantanamo is what it's called.
I recently stayed up 48 hours in a row and I realized I can't do that anymore.
Well, no.
Why did you?
Because I was doing the CMAs and...
Oh my God, did you hang out with Garth Brooks?
Always.
God, I'm so jealous.
But in any case, Garth is, I have to say, I don't claim to know him well, but he is so lovable once you're actually with him.
Dude, like, he seems like the best dude.
I'll tell you my... See, I wasn't going
to
talk.
No, I want to talk about Garth Brooks.
You're supposed to talk.
The greatest moment of my Garth Brooks history was one of the first shows I ever wrote was a White House special about music education. And Garth was the only performer. There's like Clapton was there, Al Green, all these big stars. But I noticed only when we came in through the Secret Service entrance of the White House, the only one people cared about was Garth Brooks, who every Secret Service guy would worship. And he couldn't have been nicer. He literally, this was before selfies, I think, but he still posed with pictures with every guy, autographed everything, thanked them, shook everyone's hand. He's like a politician in that way.
I have to meet
couldn't
him.
Be, no, couldn't be nicer. So then at this show...
I'm a fan too, by the way. I do. I've told you before, we should do an all Garth Brooks episode,
yeah,
but you don't want to.
Let's do it right now.
Yeah,
but in any case, what happened was, by weird coincidence, I had reviewed the Chris Gaines album in Rolling Stone the week before this.
What'd you give it?
Not a good review.
It's not good.
And here's the thing. I have subsequently said my biggest regret is I now love, actually, the Chris Gaines
record.
I've gone back to it. I praised one song because it sounds exactly like a Wallflower song, and I love it. I think it's called something letter, unsent letter, unwanted letter, whatever. But in any case... But that week I had given a really bad review or mediocre review to his album. So cut to the end of this show.
Was this when Rolling Stone was giving the stars?
Yeah, I don't remember.
All right.
But we can look it up. It Googled Garth Brooks, David Wilde,
I'll do it.
Chris Gaines or whatever. It was lukewarm, but it wasn't good.
Right.
And in any case, at the end of the show, Garth Brooks, being this like generous soul, walked up to Bill Clinton. This is in the end of the Bill Clinton administration. And the head of VH1 and said, who wrote the script for this show? It was great. I want to meet the man who wrote the script, to the president of the United States.
Right.
And I was called over, at which point I was like, please don't say my name.
Right. Because
I was like, I didn't want him to put together that this thing, guy he was praising was the same guy who had just kind of half-assed his commentary in Rolling Stone about his new record.
Right.
In any case, I got through that. So then cut to... 2 years ago or a year ago, he was presenting. And every time I see him, it's always pleasant. But I said, I have to tell you, like, that show, how much it meant to me. Because my father called me immediately after that show and said, I can't believe I have a son who's writing for the president
of
the United States. It was like a big deal to him.
Sure.
And Garth, being this sort of empathetic soul, hugged me. Cried. He talked about his father, I think, maybe was ill at that same time. And he could, like, hugged me. He couldn't have been nicer.
Oh, my God. I love him so much.
The sweetest guy.
Please promise me that, like, if you're ever hanging out with him in L.A., you will text me or call me and be like, come meet Garth Brooks. I just have to meet him.
I don't know if I have that play with Garth, but I will try.
I have to meet him. I've been putting this on so many podcasts, any public channel. I'm like, anybody who's got any ties to Garth Brooks... Please let me hang out with him somehow.
We got to get him to come into the show.
I can't find your review, but it says a Rolling Stone gave it 2.5 stars.
That sounds about right.
Okay.
Yes.
Which song did you like?
Unsent Letter, is that what it's called?
Unsigned Letter.
Unsigned Letter, fantastic. If you could play that song, it is literally a Wallflower song. It's as good as a Wallflower
song. I thought most of that album sounded like Babyface or something. It was really sexy slick. Soul.
Yes. Oh, no, the whole movie. I wish The Lamb it was going to be called. The movie was going to be called The Lamb. Right. And to me, the worst thing about the record in retrospect was the burn victim nature of the makeup on the album cover.
Totally. Backstory of Chris Gaines is like the most psychotic thing ever. It's like he was once an Olympic swimmer and he's Australian, but then he got in some gnarly car accident that like burned his face off. And then that's why he had to wear his hair in his eyes.
I just had an idea. Let's kickstart Making the Lamb.
Hey, look, if that gets me closer to hanging out with Garth Brooks, then yes, let's do it.
Let's make the movie.
Let's do it.
His version isn't on YouTube, but like a bunch of people doing versions of it are, which is weird.
Also, because only until recently, no Garth Brooks was on iTunes. He was very Prince-like in his stance
He started his own service. Yeah. He started his own Apple Music type service.
That CD is hard to find, too. Like for people not liking it, don't trade it in.
You
could find it in used stores pretty easily.
I'll look again.
I actually now kind of love it. I think it's so perverse and weird.
I was just talking about this the other day with a friend. But yes, I want to hang out with him.
But he's lovely.
He seems like the most delightful person.
No, it's like, lovely.
All right. That's Garth Brooks talk.
Yes, I love him.
All right.
Garth Brooks talk.
Before we start, I got to do this real quick. I have to do this for 24 episodes. We're almost through it, but I'm going
to have to or get to.
Well, both.
Yeah,
both.
You're talking about some good headphones.
I'm talking about some good headphones. The best headphones I've ever worn. The best headphones I've ever used. That's not a lie. Now these are the first headphones I've ever used.
So
this episode of the Rock Solid Podcast is brought to you by Bose, the engineers behind some of the world's best audio products, including Bose Quiet Comfort 35 noise canceling headphones. What do you think of these, April?
They're pretty great.
They're great. They're comfy.
Yeah.
Good.
I told you what I say about these headphones?
No, tell me.
I was wearing a different headphone at a major award show.
Okay.
And a sound expert engineer guy said, get those pieces of shit off your ears. Get yourself some Bose because you need your ears for your living and you're going to blow out your ears with the bass heavy crap that you're wearing. And I feel it's improved my hearing and my life.
Wow.
That's a good endorsement.
Yeah, glowing.
I like my wife, but I love my Bose.
Bose literally invented the technology of noise canceling almost 40 years ago because they believed that by blocking out unwanted sounds and distractions, April, you can get immersed in what you truly love, which is music.
Which is blocking out noise.
And loving music.
Yes.
All on-air talent, we call them talent, at Rock Solid Podcast. See, I can never get through it. Use the Bose Quiet Comfort 35 headphones during our recording because we want to hear what you're going to hear. And then we say, Bose, get closer. Okay, we're done with that. What else did I want to say before we start?
Oh, man, I would love to hear Get Closer by Seals and Croft right around now.
Okay, our topic tonight's an EP. Yeah, okay. So we're doing EP tonight. Kyle's not here. He's doing this game show. I like when there's three voices here. So I asked David to stop in and be our third voice.
And April just found out she's not happy.
What? Oh, shut up. I was the one that was like, hey, what's up?
That's right.
EPs. That's our topic.
Yes.
You're the only one that I knew that would have songs from EPs.
Yeah.
You were the person.
I don't have as many, I think, as I thought I did.
Well, you got 18.
Yeah. I mean, I had...
And I have 18, which is weird. We both have 18.
We can't play all of them. I got a heart out.
What's your heart out?
9.
Oh, we'll be out. We'll be out of here at 9.
I'll be out of here by 8.
Okay.
Okay, 6 more minutes of David.
I'm out of here.
People who aren't fans of David, he'll be out of here in 6 minutes. So if you just want to, you know, go do something, go brush your teeth or make a sandwich and then come back.
He's got to leave and go call Garth Brooks to set up a lunch or dinner with me.
Where are you having Thanksgiving? Dinner Hardwick's. This week? Hardwick.
Yeah.
I bet that's horrible food.
It's so fun. That's where I had it the past couple of years.
Does he cook a turkey or do they cater?
His mom and Lydia's mom do the cooking. There. Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, I hope you feel better for that.
Thank you.
I know you're under the weather. I'm not going to say what you have.
I'm having a real heavy period.
Okay.
And it sucks and it hurts.
Punctuation is tough.
I know. David,
I'm having a semicolon.
You guys are
bitch.
Grown-ups with wives.
I know. I'm not. It doesn't. I have daughters. I got 3 periods in my house.
Yeah.
And a cat, but a cat doesn't.
And an asterisk.
You, where are you having it? At home? Does your wife cook? Does Fran cook the turkey?
We alternate between my in-laws in Orange County, behind the orange curtain, my brother-in-law and his wife, who live a block away, and our home.
So what are you doing this year?
I actually do not know.
I can't believe it's next week.
That's how engaged I am. I'm just so excited about my kids being back. I don't care about anything other than that.
Excellent. At the time of this record, this is Thanksgiving.
It'll be after.
That's right.
But Patreon people are hearing this almost immediately, right?
Patreon people are going to hear this. Yeah, they hear it immediately.
Okay, then watch. What is it? What am I promoting? If I could promote for them, we'll be out by Friday night.
They'll have this tomorrow.
Okay, watch the Grammy Greatest Stories on CBS Friday night.
All right. Garth Brooks be there?
No. But it's hosted by John Legend and Carrie Underwood.
All right.
And it's everyone's on it. I interviewed McCartney for it, Bono and The Edge for it. Ken Ehrlich and I did these interviews, Kendall, and it came out really great. It's a really good show.
So who was the biggest person? Now, McCartney, but you've interviewed McCartney before.
Yes, I'm the 405th Beatle.
Did you interview anyone that you've never met or interviewed before? Because you've met everyone now.
I did not interview anyone I have not met before.
All right.
Is there anybody left that you've never met that you want to meet?
That's a good question. Joe Piscopo?
Concert-wise, I am going to see people who I haven't seen.
Like, okay.
That's where my head is at. Like, what did I just convince my wife to go see? I saw Mickey Dolenz solo. I'd never seen Mickey Dolenz solo.
And I was at the show, and I didn't even know you were there.
Yes.
And it's the Canyon Club. It's as big as this room.
And it was great. I love that show. My wife, who is not, like, I find April fascinating because she is, of all the women I know, the most passionate about music. I respect it. I love it.
I have to agree with that. Of all the women I know,
I'm
you're
the one
the
that
most,
has the least of a life.
You're the most passionate about music.
I don't have anything else music. To do. So.
I'm not saying that women aren't passionate about music, but you're the most passionate about music of any female I know. And of anyone I know.
Well, that honestly comes from having very little else to do. It really does.
I don't know if I believe that.
I don't know.
Record collecting takes up 90% of my time.
But it's a thing that you love. So even if you had a lot of other things that you and you do a lot of stuff. But I think, it's your passion.
Yes.
If I'm prying, say no.
No.
You were married for a time, right?
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Was your husband passionate about music?
Yes. I mean, that was a huge reason that we got married, because he was on my level for sure. He knows more than me. And he likes, and we our tastes lined up. The guy I dated before him had the wackest taste in the world. And then
Chris Gaines was his favorite.
David's great and is super obsessed with he ran his own like record label for a bit in high school, like super DIY style. And he's a little older than me, but was super into punk rock. And definitely.
I married someone who at the time we married cared less about music than anyone I've ever met.
Right.
And yet here we are 23 years later of marriage, and she knows so much. But when I met her, she had two cassettes, and I think I might have bought her one of them.
What were they?
The soundtrack to About Last Night was the one I'm sure she had.
All right, well,
that was her album collection. She didn't have anything to play it on.
It's got a great John Waite song on there. Exactly. It's got a nice Bob Seger song on there. John Oates solo song is on there.
Either she had, or I bought her because she loved him, the best of Rick Springfield.
There you go.
And yet, now we can sit and talk about the fine genius of Brian Wilson, or go see, like, it's amazing how that has, changed. When we met, one of our first dates was right around the corner, right from here, an actor named John Dye, who's no longer here. I actually played tennis this morning with the person who brought me to this party, but my wife came to this party when we were just had first met, and she was paired with the person I brought to the party, only you will appreciate this, was Terrence Trent D'Arby.
Oh, my God. One of my ex-husband's favorites, by the way.
But Terrence was paired because it was random pairing in a game called Celebrity, where you have to clues and name a celebrity.
Right. When you said they were paired, I was wondering what was going on at this key party that you were invited to.
Is this still when he was Terrence Trent D'Arby, or when he had changed his name?
He was TTD.
This was Terrence Trent D'Arby like right after Neither Fish Nor Flesh, right going into right. Supermodel Sandwich.
Okay.
This is a like right and when he was, we were movie buddies. When I moved here, I didn't have friends, only musicians who I knew through the magazine.
So you and Terrence Trent D'Arby would go to movies.
All I can tell you is that we saw Toys with Robin Williams by Barry Levinson and LL Cool J.
Yeah, yes.
We saw it at least twice together, maybe three times.
That is
we were the only two people who loved Toys
thing
by
I've
Barry
ever heard
Levinson.
In my life.
Oh, no. That he was insane. Like a groomsman at my wedding. And
so great.
All the old Jewish relatives went up to him and said, are you Millie or Vanilli?
No. Like
yes, because that was in the golden age.
And he still had his dreads and stuff.
Yeah, and he's a great guy. But in any case, they were paired. I'm going to stop after this story.
Okay.
But they were paired in Celebrity.
26 minutes, no music.
And the answer was Bob Dylan. And Terrence named every Bob Dylan song, said the greatest protest singer of all time. My wife had nothing.
No.
Finally, after like 10 minutes of this painful exercise, she goes, I got it. Somehow, I think some Bob had come up already. Yeah. She said, Bob Seger.
No!
So when we got married, he had a lot of fun at our expense.
Oh,
now,
boy.
Mind you, our son, our firstborn, who'll come home mm-hmm. tomorrow, is named after Dylan. So now she knows her Dylan. But,
right.
But that was a...
And obviously, that if she had it her way, your son would be named Seger.
Yes, no, or Rick.
EPs.
I think that works though. Sometimes, like if one person is dating or married to a person, like you know what I mean.
Yeah,
yeah.
Everybody has their own thing.
Strictly on the numbers, we made it 23 years.
Yeah.
So
sometimes people who are both obsessed with like the same kind of stuff butt heads over it.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it works out mm-hmm. if one person's into it and one person's not.
I'm gonna isolate you just you saying butt heads.
Butt heads.
I'm gonna put it closer
because I've had that experience.
Yes.
And then I've dated guys who didn't like any of the shit I liked. And it was kind of, it was like, all right, cool. Well, on these days, I'll go do my thing and you go do your thing.
Personal question. Are you dating anyone currently?
Absolutely not.
All right. EPs.
Yes.
Extended plays. This is a group of music, maybe three, four, maybe five songs that comes out between albums.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something fun. I love EPs. Do you want to go first? I know you like to always like pick your song.
I'll go first.
But you'll go first. Okay, here we go.
Because I got, much like T.T. D'Arby, this guy's a bro of mine. Talk about him all the time. His name's Billy Bragg, greatest dude on earth. This is from a Less Than Jake EP because he was telling me, and you can play this like 50 seconds in. Yeah, it's a Less Than Jake EP, so like obviously all the other songs are Less Than Jake, and this is a guest, he does a guest vocal on this, and I remember him telling me that he just recorded it into the phone. And I feel like this is even before, is this before smartphones? I don't know. But I remember being like, when did you do that? When were you hanging out with Less Than Jake? And he was like, oh yeah, I just did it on the phone.
For and time. I don't know who Less Than Jake is, so please.
They were starting like to Capitol for a while.
Pop punk band. Yeah. They're like this a Warped Tour band.
This is from 2003.
Yeah, so you can just play like the bit that, yeah, I think it's around 50 seconds and okay. then he comes in.
I have it queued up for 50 seconds. Here we go.
45, 50, something like that.
All right, here we go. Kai was not here.
Said the hole in your head has gotten bigger than the hole that's in your chest, and you're stuck between the past and present tense. Said you've been waging a war against so many years of lies, with stronger drinks and longer lines. It's not that big a surprise that you're feeling more dead than alive. That you're feeling more dead than alive.
All right.
So I'll let you know if you need.
This is more past tense kind of
go. This is really good. I like this a lot.
I'll be listening when you call, and I'll be there if you fall off. If
yeah.
You need
it's called The Brightest Bulb Is Burned Out. But yeah, that's Less Than Jake featuring Billy Bragg.
All righty.
And I don't, Pat, I know that.
Yes, sir.
April has played you a lot of Billy Bragg. I still don't know if you've ever listened to. To me, the greatest album about love mm-hmm. of all time is an record called Workers' Playtime.
Yes!
That's the one I have.
And
a listener sent favorite. It to me. A listener sent it to me.
Oh, like the actual...
Yeah, the two CD, the deluxe edition.
Moment.
Yeah,
it's his finest moment.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I still think it's... Also, because it has that cover title and his reputation. I remember thinking, oh, it's going to be a political record. And then it's like literally the most.
Yeah, but it's like side by side. I mean, it's like half love songs, half politics, I think.
I think it's about the politics of
I
dancing.
I think he just loves, he loves politics. So it's all there. And now my first artist, I picked someone to play first because I know that you like this person. Rock and peace to this person. This is George Michael.
Oh, okay.
With Queen.
Yeah.
And the EP was called Five Live, and it was recorded at the Freddie Mercury tribute concert.
Oh, so, he was so good.
So here's Somebody to Love.
This song is one of my favorites. It's called Somebody to Love.
Watch that documentary on Showtime.
I did.
The one on George Michael?
Yeah.
I haven't. How is it?
I liked it. It was a bit weird to watch only because he made it. So it was like this weird thing where like...
Well, he started to make it, I think.
Right. And then they had to finish it. But it was almost like himself giving his own eulogy or something. So,
oh, boy.
Not, I mean, just not in a bad way, just like in an unsettling mm-hmm. way where you're like, oh my God, this guy died while... It was like a weird... lucky in a way where it's like he looked back on his whole career not knowing like it was about to end. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Was he patting himself on the back? Was it one of those things?
Well, yeah, but not undeservedly, you know? I mean,
it's
I don't
always
know.
Weird when you pat yourself on the back, though.
I don't agree.
How great is this podcast?
A lot of others, okay. A lot of others patted him on the
yeah.
back.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't agree. I mean, I think you're allowed to be proud of cool stuff you make.
And it's on Showtime.
Yeah.
All right.
But it was just, it's... I think it always needs, it bears repeating, because he was so good looking and because he was so like, wearing
Pat or George?
Oh,
George.
I'm sorry, George.
Okay, thank you. Clear that up.
But it's like, you know, even though he was, I hate to use the word flamboyant because I don't mean it in like, I just mean that literally in the way that he's like wearing short shorts and dancing around. Like people yeah. always thought that he just was like a guy in a boy band, but he did everything. He wrote all those songs himself. Like he made Faith, the album Faith, like entirely by himself,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
wrote it, played it, produced it, like all of that. And I think people kind of forget that. Yeah. He was an incredible songwriter.
Groomed his like, own beard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did all like, that stuff.
He, yeah. Jack of all trades, that guy.
Do you relate to Pat like from Jesus to a child? I have a weird memory of George that...
Were you going to play music, though?
No.
Okay.
No, I want to hear this.
I was at... And what's weird is that this... I thought when he died, it would come up in some article. But I was at Rock in Rio mm-hmm. when he brought out Andrew Ridgeley for, I believe, the last and only real
right.
reunion. And it was amazingly... I wish it was featured in something because... It was one of these weird, I'll never forget, I was covering, you know, Rock and Rio for Rolling Stone, and there was, it was the weirdest lesson in different regions mm-hmm. have completely different reactions. So that, like, I remember New Kids on the Block, who were the biggest stars in the world at that moment, went out, no one showed up, no one cared.
In Rio?
In Rio, but, aha, the biggest thing in the world.
Right.
No one cared about this George Michael and Andrew Ridgeley doing... In Rio, it was not a big deal. It was not full, and it was not that enthusiastic. Yet Colin Hay went on with, I guess, a sax guy calling themselves Men at Work. This is after they had broken right. up. The biggest thing on earth.
That
is
curious.
It was, I mean, it was amazing, and I like it. I think the world now is too homogenized because of the internet and
yes.
all. But
yeah.
at that moment, it was like you discover, oh, no, over here. Like
you know what that reminds me of? Is when I lived in England after high school, the biggest band was Fun Lovin' Criminals. English people lost their minds over them.
I remember being there.
And I remember, and people would ask me about, because I am an American with an American accent, so there would be people being like, do you know them? And I'm like, no. I was like, no one in America likes these people. What are you talking about? Like, they were huge in the charts and everything.
That's, yeah.
It's like poor Robbie Williams. Can't get it. He could walk right down the street here.
With both of us.
Yes, exactly. Yep. I love him.
I listened to him today while I had to write a treatment for someone.
And I'm just saying that in America, he can't get arrested.
Same, it's the same kind of thing.
Well, Morrissey and he were both two guys who lived here sort of hiding out in plain sight.
Especially in the 90s. Morrissey never got bothered. In that weird 10 years that he didn't do anything and didn't have a record deal and stuff.
He was hanging out with Nancy Sinatra in Beverly Hills.
Yeah, totally. Nobody cared.
Tim Burgess is probably still here, right?
He was Burgess DJs this night at the Echo. One of the first couple of weeks I was here, I went to a New Order night at the Echo to go dancing, and I looked up and the DJ was Tim Burgess. I went up to him and was like, "You're Tim Burgess, right, from the Charlotte?" He's like, "Yeah." He's like, "New Order's my favorite band." And I'm like, "Okay." it was awesome, but he was the DJ.
Oh my God. All right, what's your next song? What do you want to go with?
I don't know. What did you just play?
I played Queen.
I'll pick one.
G. Michael with Queen.
I'll pick one from your list.
Okay, go for it.
This is how I can get involved.
Yes.
This is fun.
Oh boy, a lot of good stuff. I would like to pick,
drum roll,
the surprising Death Cab for Cutie choice.
Oh yeah, Photo Booth.
Yeah.
This is a great song. This EP, this is my favorite song from this EP. I can't even really remember what else is on it, to be honest with you.
Where am I going to play it in from?
You can do the beginning of this.
All right, cool.
Yeah, this is a great song.
This is off the Forbidden Love EP.
It's called Photo Booth.
From 2000.
Demo setting on a Casio. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's great.
That's a great song. Have you heard that song before?
Yes.
I had not.
That's why I picked it. I love it.
I like it very much.
I like them. I don't know. I'm so old. I don't even know if I'm supposed to like them or not. I think they've sort of become unhip, but I love them.
I don't know either because they're a band. They slept on mine and Millie's couch three times
when
they played Atlanta. The first time I saw Death Cab for Cutie play, it was at the 40 Watt in Athens with four other people there. It was before their first album came out. I didn't know anything. When I lived with Millie was the music director at our radio station, and she knew everything mm-hmm. The minute she would come home and be like, listen to this, this is cool. So I got to know about stuff before anybody else did, and that's how I knew about Death Cab for Cutie. She came home and was like, listen to this record, these guys are rad. And I did. The first record is so great. And then she was like, they're playing tonight. And we drove to Athens and no one was there. It was them and the Jazz Butcher and no one was there. It was weird.
And speaking of Millie, does she live out here now?
Yes.
And you guys have a podcast together?
Yes.
Tell us about that podcast.
It's called Sorted Details. It's just us talking dumb shit. As a matter of fact, Paul F. Tompkins, he's on the next one. He was at my house yesterday, and that's how we started talking about Chris Gaines, because he loves Chris Gaines. And then we start talking about Garth Brooks, as I always do.
That's crazy that it comes up tonight then, too.
Yeah.
And is she enjoying her new living arrangements?
She is. It's taking some getting used to.
Is she living with you?
No, she only lives three streets away from me, though.
Speaking of Athens, I just this afternoon... Because I haven't actually listened to... I was invited to some listening session for this new REM reissue of Automatic for the People.
Yes.
And I haven't actually listened to it. I didn't go to the session, and I haven't listened to it. And then one of these sort of sites tweeted out a full link to the entire only concert they did
for that tour. Yes, I just saw that today, too.
And I had
Georgia Theater, I think. Or no, it was at the 40 Watt.
It was at the 40 Watt. And I was stunned.
So they weren't touring with that album. They just did one show.
I'd totally forgotten that. And... it was so good. It sort of completely brought back, because I think it's weird. There's not even cries for reunion. They're doing these reissues and all that. And yet you've heard, what's weird is they rarely has a great group petered out in terms of public affection to that extent.
Right.
And it reminded me, oh no, They were great live.
They were so great.
They were great.
They were a huge band.
And you would like it because I remember one of my greatest
shows. Did Joe Amsterdam send you a copy of this?
Nothing, no.
No, me neither.
But I do. I flash back because I was enjoying it so much to watching them at the Radio City Music Hall, one of the shows I went to over the years when they did Midnight Blue by Lou Gramm. And it took me like a few minutes to figure out, could they really be playing this, you know, this AOR rock masterpiece?
Yeah.
And they were. But I guess the type
are
was
you
like
friends with Michael Stipe?
I've interviewed him, but I don't know. I'm not friends with him.
Oh, man, because I was like, you hooked that up? Because no. I need to hang out with Michael Stipe.
He's not your music pimp.
I'll look, tit for tat. I bet I know maybe some people he doesn't know, and I can hook it up. You want to hang out with Billy Bragg? I got you.
Let's listen to some more songs from EPs.
Okay.
I feel like you guys are taking it off.
I'm going to pick one of yours?
No, I got one. I'm going to play a Fleetwood Mac song off the...
I'm not familiar with that group. This Extended Play?
Extended Play.
Yeah.
From 2013.
Yes.
Now, are you currently writing the liner notes for the 1975 Fleetwood Mac album?
I already wrote them.
Okay.
I was actually at the World Series with Brad Paisley, dropping a name that won't impress April that much.
No, my parents will be psyched to hear that.
But when I got the email, which was amazing, because when you write for Fleetwood Mac or bands these days... You have to get every member to approve everything. You know, if it's going to go on the album.
Yeah, especially Fleetwood Mac.
And I got the most amazing email, which is like the person from the record company was like, you're not going to believe this. They all approved it instantly, no changes. And I'm like, wow. Because that's not an easy group of people to...
Yeah,
no, to get to agree on anything.
Yes. And so that was, yes. Well, that's coming out January
12th.
19th.
I think 19th.
Yes.
Well, since you know them and you've written for them before, you were probably eyeing with, I'm going to write something that they'll all approve, right? Was your eye on that? Or as you're writing each line, are you like, I don't think Mick's going to like that. Let me change this. I hope John likes this. John doesn't even get to read it.
No,
let's
be
honest.
What I have tried to do is divide up who I talk to.
Uh-huh.
And for that one, I basically focused on talking to Mick Fleetwood and Christine. John isn't really into talking...
At all.
That much. It doesn't, but I've gotten to know Christine a little bit better because of this Lindsay record she did.
Right.
And I love her, and she's opened up. She's a really good interview. I always used to think she was too self-effacing to be, but she's really quite charming. And Mick is the guy who remembers everything, unlikely as that might be because of certain lifestyle choices he had in the day. He remembers everything. And what I wanted to do was, from the perspective of the band that was already there, like Bob Welch runs out, like
right.
How do they, and yeah, no, and yes. Yeah, so I wanted to get their point of view of these incoming Americans.
I can't wait to read it and listen to the new reissue.
I can't wait either. I've written something else about Fleetwood Mac since then. I feel like I'm just constantly, you know.
You're on the Fleetwood Mac payroll. Are you a member of Fleetwood Mac?
I could be. I think I got into the Hall of Fame just as much as Bob Welch did.
This is from this. Now, this is the last Fleetwood Mac music that was made.
Well, you could argue that the Buckingham Nicks record,
well, yes,
you Buckingham. Could, sorry, the Buckingham McVie record
is also a Fleetwood Mac.
Started
album.
Out to potentially be one,
yes,
and then didn't. And I love it.
Yeah, I love it too.
But yes, this was the last.
And this was just an EP released on digitally. It's not, there's no hard copy of it, no physical copy. It's just called Extended Play. It's from 2013, and this song is called Sad Angel.
Oh, you picked my favorite.
My eyes were consumed by the silence in the room. Your dreams would not wake from the words that we break. Hello, hello, sad angel. Have you come to fight the war? The drums of fire are calling. My soul marches out the door. We fall to earth together. The crowd calling out for more. Hello, hello, sad angel. Have you come to fight?
I think they were going on tour and they wanted to have a couple new tracks to play, so I think that's why this happened. Good stuff.
Oh no, I love them. It's been actually a real pleasure to write a lot of notes for them in the last 2 years or 3 years, I guess, because what I sort of have taken the attitude of, which is something I don't know if you ever do with records, definitely with rumors. I said this, like I said, I'm going to try to act like I've never heard it before and how, like, to hear things again.
Cause right.
I think that's the problem of classic rock. The reason why classic rock, like April has very interesting taste. You have interesting taste in a whole different way, but the whole problem of people who have basically have rooted themselves around classic rock mm-hmm. is that I believe classic rock radio has destroyed the idea of classic rock
because they play
12 records.
Yeah, they grab a band and they play these five songs and they don't dig deep into any catalog. So people, that's why people are like, I'm sick of Led Zeppelin. I'm like, well, you only hear four songs.
Right.
You know, all right. What do you got?
I'm going to play the opposite of classic rock.
Cool.
Which is Belle and Sebastian. This is my favorite Belle and Sebastian song. They've put out tons of EPs. This song is called Le Pasti de la Bourgeoisie, which is translates, I think, to the apathy of the working class.
Also the title of one of your favorite Loverboy songs, I believe, Pat.
Exactly.
Yeah, this is
well, that translates
a rat song.
That translates to Hot Girls in Love.
Exactly.
Here we go.
Lost the Colombian view. You stay home. Oh, if only I'd let you. Le pasti de la bourgeoisie. Municipal pool. Your junior life.
Yep. I knew I should have worn a beret. You know, what's interesting is it sort of begs the question of, like, as you said, like, there's British groups. The EP, I think, is a different thing in England. And, like, you going back to, we could, if I was picking songs, you could potentially, I think, with the Beatles, you could pick, like, most Beatles songs because a lot of it was...
And the Kinks, too.
On EPs.
Yes.
Like, I think their sense of the album as an art form and the EP as an art form... I think we're different than the American sense. Like to me, as I tweeted before I came here, like EPs to me were like, you know, a Cheap Trick EP and a Pretenders EP.
Yeah.
Those are like the things that I remember as EPs big in my life. You know, as a rule, I bought them, but they're not the way I interpret a lot of music
right.
as an American.
I'm going to play a song. This is an artist that you like. This is an artist that you like. This is an artist that I like. This is from an
EP. Eric Carmen?
This is from an EP. I do love Eric Carmen. This is from an EP from 2017. This will probably, I think, be the last music we get from David Bowie. This is from the No Plan EP. This is a song called Killing a Little Time.
I staggered through this criminal rain. I'm not in love, no phony pain. Creeping through this tidal wave. No warm embrace, just a lover's grave. This symphony.
Thing the other night. Do either one of you know who Adam Buxton is?
I do not.
He's an English comedian and he did this thing at the Vista. I forget the name of it, but it was like, it was just a comedy presentation he did all about David Bowie where it was like video clips and then him doing PowerPoints. It was awesome. It was
awesome
and hilarious. It would be like, you know, he would obviously show clips of actual videos, but then he would show clips where, like, he's doing the voice where he's making David Bowie, like, say funny stuff. And then he would show, like, some of it was animated, some of it... It was just this multimedia presentation that was actually really touching and really funny. Like, it was all just coming from him being like, I love David Bowie and always did, and, you know, it was coming from a place of love, but it was really funny. It was great.
We should do that with Chris Gaines.
Yeah. Okay. let's focus more on Garth Brooks, less on Chris Gaines.
You just reminded me of, I believe, when another EP that I used to listen to was, there was a Tin Machine EP.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, and because I have said this maybe on this podcast before, David Bowie came out to me as a Jew when I wrote about him for Rolling Stone. Mm-hmm. He may have just been trying to garner favor with me, but he did say, he just found out that his mother, I believe, was Jewish or half Jewish, so he wanted me to know this. But I believe that and he was in a band with the Sales Boys, Hunt, you know, and
Soupy Sales Sons.
Mm-hmm. Tony and Hunt, who I believe they were Jewish through Soupy. And, so I believe the EP was called like Oy Vey, It's Tin Machine or something along those lines.
Oh, you're right.
Lines.
Yeah, I do know. I have heard of that.
So I think I was part of his whole, that was another attempt
awakening.
To kind of, his awakening.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I gotta find. I don't have that EP. I gotta find that. Maybe it's on. Maybe it's on iTunes. What's your next tune from an EP? Extended play. LP is a long play.
All right, this is another one. This is my favorite Pulp song, which can be found hidden on an EP called The Sisters EP. This is a song called His and Hers that's very explicitly about choke sex.
Wow. All right.
I mean, every Pulp song's about sex, but this is specifically about autoerotic.
This is the fifth time choke sex has come up today for me.
This song is so hot.
That seems to be a madness song or something.
It's so hotter than that.
What if it's just this for 6 minutes?
You're not far off.
All right. Is there going to be singing?
Yes.
Will there be choking?
You got to get nice and horny first, then he's going to sing.
I've got the time, and you've got the space. I want to wipe you down. And let the smile off your face, the smile off your face, though we know that it's wrong. So good, but does it turn you on?
That's a fantastic song.
It's so good. Listen to this.
And if the neighbors hear, the neighbors hear, cause they don't understand.
I wish I had a video of April lip syncing.
It's the hottest.
It's like if Robert Smith got laid more. it's like if he actually got the cure.
Totally.
It begs a question.
Oh, this just didn't. Hold on. I'm sorry. Kyle just said that he's signing paperwork. He's getting ready to leave. And I said, did you win? And he said, yes, they won whatever this.
Aren't you allowed to? Aren't you not allowed to? If no, it's going to film.
This isn't going to air.
Oh, okay.
Good for the
kid.
In the
current climate.
Doesn't even care. David doesn't even care.
Yeah,
talking.
Great. Back to Pulp.
Yeah, whatever.
It's not really about Pulp. It's about the moment in our culture right now. People keep asking me, how come musicians are not getting caught up in this moment of scandal, particularly? Mm-hmm. That it's been right. Comedy, it's been actors, it's been Hollywood.
People want to fuck musicians.
I think that's been my answer, is that they usually don't have
to. It's consensual.
Yes. That I think it's weird, though, that the industry, the scumbag
A&R
guys and people like that.
I
think there's stories that will happen there, but they haven't really happened yet.
Yeah, because, I mean, most people, myself included, willfully bang musicians.
Oh, yeah, no. Rick Springfield, I'm going to go up to San Francisco just to bang him before the show.
Before. You'll wear him out.
Yeah, I'm saying this is current day me. I've never banged a musician and never wanted to when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
As I'm getting older, I'm like, all right. But I'm just saying, that's why I don't think that a lot of those stories are coming out about like actual people in bands.
Right.
Well, it's interesting because that was part of the men generally being more passionate musical fans and more geeky about it than women is that I've always thought part of the interesting thing is like for me to have spent as many hours thinking about rock stars as I have my whole life, I had to intellectualize it you know, and justify it in my own, you know, mind. Whereas, so it was never about crushes, although maybe it always is in a certain way. Maybe when you love a band, you do have, you're kind of just in love with their image.
Yeah, there's a different type of crush. Like, I think you can definitely have a crush on somebody in the way that you, like, kind of wish you were them, in a way. Right. I definitely have that on men and women, where it's the sort of crush where I'm like, I don't necessarily want to be, like, romantically involved with them, but I think that they're so cool.
Like, you want to hang out with them.
Or I want, a certain part of me wants to be them, very much so. Like, I'll be like, oh, I wish I was more like this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think anybody, particularly if you're any sort of performer, which I guess I could technically be categorized as, but like...
You have 42,000 Twitter followers.
Yeah, but if you're somebody who admire people so much that everything... I am a combination of everything I'm into. Like, unless you live in a cave, mm-hmm. or unless you just... Art has zero effect on your life, which there are definitely people... Like my parents, like they don't give a care about anything. So there's no sort of influence. Like my mom is very much who she is, and there's no... But if you ask me... Like, there are definitely aspects of my personality that I have 100% ripped off of all these people that I grew up admiring. Like, without question. So,
but
I
your
think
mom is her own person.
Yeah. Her only influence is Jesus Christ.
Oh, boy. That guy.
Which I'm not shaming her. That's great.
No.
But I'm just saying it's...
That's her guy.
Part of me is like, it's got to be refreshing. Do you ever think, truly, as somebody who's also seems... Obsessive is maybe sounds like a pejorative, but I don't mean it that way at all. Like, we've both spent a lot of our time really being into this stuff. Is there ever a time where a part of you is like, what if I hadn't? What if I was like a different person who wasn't as obsessed with this stuff? How different your life would be?
I think about it a lot in terms of my parents and my dad in particular, who, like, I'm a Jewish kid from New Jersey. So it's like they logically in my... sending me to Cornell would have thought become a lawyer or whatever.
Totally.
And I, as a parent now of boys who were headed, we just sent our youngest off to college this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think how great for my father, the second he saw where my passions were, was like anything to support my
passion. That's great. That's great.
And I think how great that was and how lucky I was and how I need to be attuned to that. Like, don't, I think, I think about that in terms of parenting, like how do you not project onto your kids what you want them to be, but find out, listen to them enough to know who they want to be. And then, like, that's why it's like, you know, like on his deathbed, my dad told the nurse at the hospice about like me mentioning him in the liner notes to a Sinatra record, you know, and how that was. And I'm like, I'm just so lucky that I did not have, because a lot of people get resistance, you know, to.
Yes, I do know.
I got no resistance.
Yeah. But I don't have any resistance for my kids. Whatever they want to do, do it.
Right.
Yeah.
But they are that whole thing of if you encourage them to follow their passions, they never will work. Like,
right.
In a certain way, and I work hard, but I don't feel it's work.
Right.
Generally.
Yeah.
There are exceptions. But not generally.
I'm going to play a song from one of the EPs David tweeted about today. It's The Pretenders from 1981.
Oh, my God.
It's called Extended Play. This came out between Pretenders and Pretenders 2. It actually featured Talk of the Town and Message of Love.
Talk of the Town, my favorite song.
Which ended up on Pretenders 2.
Yes.
So I'm going to play
a
song.
Which is not as good as... I see the Extended Play is a better collection than, to me,
Pretenders, Pretenders 2. Well, I'm going to play Cuban Slide. Here we go.
You would...
I'm not going to play one of the two hits people know.
That's great. That Bo Diddley beat?
Yep. I agree. Pretenders 2 took me a long time to get into the flow and the songs on that album.
I don't even go back to it.
You should. Try it.
I go to the first record. I go to Extended Play. I go to...
Learning to Crawl is great.
Learning to Crawl is so good.
Yeah. What's up, April? What's up?
I don't know. I'm just trying to decide. Trying to decide what I should play next.
Do you take a dish to Thanksgiving dinner? Are you going to show up with a pie or something?
They never let me. I ask, like, hey, what do you need me to bring?
Just surprise
you. While you're deciding, like, fine. I just want to say about the Pretenders.
Okay.
It's a question for each of you. What song that classic rock... Is there a song that classic rock radio can't destroy for you? Because there are two songs that I will listen to every time they come on the radio, which they do a lot. One is Back on the Chain Gang,
totally.
Which
mm-hmm.
I find so moving every time. And interestingly, because we're doing this right after Malcolm Young died, I find You Shook Me All Night Long is the one of the classic rock songs I never get tired of.
I turn it up. I never get sick of that song.
I never get sick of it, and I'm constantly charmed. The secret of AC/DC, one of the secrets is, like Chuck Berry, the best rock and roll lyrics, the best sort of like minimal,
yep.
stupid male, like they have understood the adolescent male mind better mm-hmm. than anyone
yep.
ever.
They uh-huh. tapped into it, and that's what you get. And for me, Carry On Wayward Son, I never get tired of it, by Kansas.
No, I'm in the Kansas doc. I'm friends with them. I will say I don't have that exact same feeling about it, but I do. Well,
you ask a yeah. question.
Yeah,
I just
say you're wrong. Your answer is wrong. I did ask.
There are no wrong answers, just wrong people.
I don't really have any. Like, I got to say, that's my blind spot.
Mm-hmm.
Because all the stuff when I started getting hyper-obsessed with music was all a reaction to that.
Right.
Right.
So I don't, I mean, obviously as I get old, not the Pretenders, but stuff like...
Yeah.
Kansas or whatever, in Boston or any other.
Well, yeah, corporate rock.
Yeah, that was very much not what I was trying mm-hmm. to be into. So I don't really have an answer to that question. I can't tell you the last time I ever, or if ever, I listened to classic rock radio.
But you like artists from a particular time in your life when you started listening to music. You still
like those artists.
I like tons of stuff
from all kinds. Yeah, like that's my favorite. Like post-punk is my jam.
Someone has to say it. You haven't said it once
for
in
sure.
I know,
that's your jam.
But like, don't get it twisted. I like stuff from all eras.
I know that, but I'm saying you still have an affection for this music that first caught your ear.
Yes.
And that's actually...
very specifically mm-hmm. the 70s, when that shit was happening, mm-hmm. the shit I like was... 100% made specifically to be
against
a reaction
that.
To it. Yes.
But that's the stuff I'm the same as you in that way, that I still have an affection for the music that I first
for sure.
heard.
And
yeah.
I don't know about you, Pat, but what I have experienced, which I love, is one of the many things I love about having kids is I get to do this sort of, okay, does it hold up test, which
right.
you
right.
play it for your kids and you see what they, like, I'm older than you, April, and when I was a young man in the 1920s, the Stones were the coolest guys still. They were
for
sort
sure.
of on the and I love the Stones. And it's my whole life I've played my Stones for my kids and they're like, no, doesn't
matter.
What
are your kids into?
Oh, well, my younger one is like, in fact,
he likes choke rock.
Choke sex.
Like Radiohead, Boards
of
Canada, all sorts of
so just like indie stuff.
Indie cool stuff.
Yeah.
And my older son likes a lot of that stuff, but also a lot of, weirdly, he's named after Bob Dylan, and we're the two biggest fans of Christian Bob Dylan. Like, we sit and listen to bootlegs of Christian Bob Dylan, which is a new record out, which is great, a new
How many
official
discs
thing.
Is that?
There's a new Trouble No More thing, which just came out, which is great collection of Christian era.
There's like
Dylan.
Seven discs, isn't it?
So they're
well,
definitely,
there's like a two-disc version, and then there's other
They're
versions.
Not the kind of kids that are like, we can't listen to it if dad listens to it.
No. And that's why it's like my younger one who likes really kind of a lot of electronic indie experimental. He's DJing at his college station. And he's got great taste. He's deep. But he will on a musical level hear something that is so deeply unhip. Like this is where he and Pat will intersect.
Uh-oh.
It's only a little spot, but like,
Kansas.
Toto. I played him like he could hold the line. He was like,
Hold the Line's kind of a jam, because though.
It's kind of a jam. No, but I love that. But yeah. And I always think, like, it's also just generational. Like, the Stones were never cool in his, like, to him, Mick Jagger's an old man.
Right.
Yeah.
But
they
like,
never saw a young Mick Jagger.
But they did like School of Rock when they were really little. So they think Black Sabbath is cool.
Right.
You know, so it's just interesting how this stuff bleeds one way or the other.
Right, right.
What's your next EP song for us?
I'm going to They Might Be Giants. Not cool. Like, so uncool that they're cool. And the reason I chose this, it's the Back to Skull EP. And I bought this EP specifically because it has this version. This song is called She Was a Hotel Detective, which is on their first album.
Right.
And this sounds totally, it's not a remix. Version. They don't list it as a remix on the EP, but it's completely different.
Completely different? Okay.
Yeah. And actually, you can skip in like 30 seconds or something. It's got a long intro.
I'm skipping in 30 seconds.
Or so.
Seen her, she's a
I just heard about them. They used to, like, I came from the New York magazine world, and they were like the house band of the New York magazine.
Oh, really?
World. They would play like the Spy magazine Christmas party in the Puck building. And
of
I would
course.
Go, you know, they were, I love them, but I just heard like some podcast saying, and it was like a political podcast saying, they'll be our opening act for the next podcast. We'll be, they might be giants. I'm like, oh boy, opening for a podcast?
Yeah, that's kind of, I saw them I so them. Much in high school. Yeah, I love them too.
That's like Spinal Tap and Puppet Show. Isn't that the marquee in Spinal Tap? Isn't it something like
yes.
that?
Yes. Were you old enough to, when they had the, like, what was it, Dial a Song?
Yes.
Era, do you,
yes,
you remember
totally.
That?
Yes, totally. Because I think I even got in trouble.
For
you
long
had
distance
pay.
Phone calls?
Yes, totally. And my mom's like, you can't call that anymore. Yeah.
It's so funny.
Because I think it was just like a Brooklyn area code or something.
All right, here we go. This band has two people that we know.
Okay.
This band is the pride of Erie, PA. Mike Furman.
Oh, okay.
Tony Thaxton.
Oh, right. Yeah,
this
yeah.
This is their EP called Let's Start a Band, and this is a song called Angelina Wants Blood. That's on iTunes, people. Buy that. The Pride of Erie, PA. You can get it on iTunes.
I don't think you said the name of the group.
Yeah.
It's the Pride of Erie, PA.
That's the name?
Name?
That's
of
the
group?
Name of the
I
group.
I thought it was Motion City Soundtrack.
No, no. That's the Pride. That, no, this was a new band
oh.
that Tony started with Mike Furman.
Oh, okay.
I don't know that song.
And it's
how new is that?
2013.
Oh.
And the album, and the album is called Let's Start a Band.
Oh, okay.
All right. I wasn't clear.
Yeah, I totally thought it was Motion City
so
Soundtrack
sorry.
When you said Tony.
So sorry.
All right.
Thank God I'm here to clear it up and add nothing
yes.
else to the conversation.
Thank you.
Well, this is sounds kind of like that. So I'm going to play the Fratellis' Flathead from the Flathead EP, even though the song was also on their debut album, but I remember getting the EP before I got the album.
Now,
so.
Hold on. They're the group that did the Valerie. Is that who? The Fratellis?
The Fratellis.
They're not the group that did the song that Amy Winehouse covered?
I don't think so, because I don't think they existed until after she died. I could be wrong. I could be wrong.
It's my favorite Italian
is it
place.
A
no,
man
that's
and a,
not true.
Is
they
it a man
existed
and a
before
woman?
She...
Is it a man and a woman?
No, it's like a group of English dudes, or maybe even Scottish dudes. It's like four dudes.
Let's hear it.
I confuse the Zutons and the Fratellis.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Yeah, I was like, yeah this was just four dudes.
In Scottish terms, if I were to do my choices, I believe there was an EP I bought by a Scottish band, one of the greatest songs of all time. So good, you should just find it and play it if you can right now. The Bluebells, Cath. Do you know Cath by the Bluebells?
That sounds familiar.
If you
is it
find
about it, like Cath Carol?
It's just a love song that is one of the greatest songs of all time, I believe. And I had no idea if it's on anything anymore.
Yeah, because I feel like they were...
Are you trying to find it?
I found it.
You found it? Are you can you play it?
I can, it's on YouTube. Let me wait till this video. I can skip the video now. And here we go.
I would like to see if you guys like this, because I remember...
1983.
Yeah, totally. Totally know this. Because this is around the same time as, like, Orange Juice and stuff.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
But just listen to this.
So weary and cold.
You got to get to the chorus.
I'm set to the core.
This is all just build up.
I'm not touching anything.
No emotion to spare. I ran and raved and screamed.
I mean, this sounds just like Ask the Camera. I totally remember. Craig Gannon was in there. Yeah. My favorite part.
This would have been my time of buying EPs by Orange. Like, in fact, Aztec Camera had, when they put Jump Out, that was a big deal.
I know. I almost had Texas Fever on here for, I love all that stuff. I love all that stuff.
And that band looks exactly the way they sound.
The Bluebells?
Yeah, they really do.
I'd love to see that.
I'll show you later. When you go to lunch with Phil Rosenthal and Ray Romano, who grabs that check?
At that lunch, it was the two guys with syndication money grabbed the check from,
that's good.
The day before we had lunch and split it. So
no, right?
Yes, we have a lot of lunches.
What do I want to? I'm gonna here. I'll play something from the '80s. Of course, 1982. This is Scandal's EP. Patti Smyth, Love's Got a Line on You.
And I almost made a reference to her today. I played live ball, which is a type of tennis. I don't know if you've ever played live ball.
No, I never have.
It's this crazy form of tennis. And someone had a live ball. They got a pro and invited a bunch of people to play. And one of the guys said, "Hey, McEnroe," which was because the guy in front of me had thrown his racket, you know, when he lost something. And I almost said, because they were playing classic rock hits, I say, "Hey, you should play some Patti Smyth." And then I realized, no one in this room is going to get this, so I did not say Patti Smyth.
What's live ball? What
live
is that?
Live ball is, it's like you just keep playing, and it's like doubles where you run around the court, the winning, after a certain amount of points, you go become the team on the other side, and you keep playing until you're knocked
out. But you stay with your partner.
It's like King of the
Hill. You stay with your partner,
no,
then. You don't. You play with different people.
Constantly, everyone is moving the whole time.
Sounds like a blast.
It was a blast.
Well, I'll play that next time.
All right. I'd never done it before, but I did it today.
Well, let's do that. You play tennis, right?
No.
You're not a sports person.
Not really.
Nah.
Mm-mm.
All right.
Well, are Huey Lewis in the news?
Yes, that's the only kind of sports I'll be into.
What is something?
All right, I'm going to play Sucrose by a band called the Delgados, who were rad. Scottish lady singer.
It's from the EP. Is called Sucrose.
We're going on a Scottish theme.
1996. Yeah. Let's hear it.
Oh, Belle and Sebastian. Is someone Scottish? I'm trying to remember.
They're all Scottish.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is, it's always a, it's like an education when you come in here for me because.
Thank you.
This is, no. Well, yeah, you, but because it's always stuff that I've never heard before. I remember the first time that you were on and Matt Belknap was the producer and you played Gang of Four.
Oh, yeah, I very much remember that.
And we were both like, what the heck?
How could you not know Gang of Four?
And we were like, I know. And we were like, how? This is amazing.
I thought it was Pedestrian. Well, no. I was like, oh, sorry, guys. I'm going to play Gang of Four.
Were you so in the Midwest, like in the heartland where they didn't even have. Like
it was tough where I lived. Yeah, I didn't get
LA, like, they had alternative radio where they was popular.
Radio was really rough where I lived. Yeah, it wasn't.
It was REO.
It was REO or Mellencamp or Spring. Yeah, it just wasn't.
You were born in a small town.
Yeah, I didn't get that stuff.
It was just so
stuff.
Funny because I remember that because I remember being like, this is so Pedestrian. I'm sorry, guys, but I got to play it. And you're like
what the
we don't know who these people are.
This is the greatest thing I've ever heard. We both loved it.
I'm hoping you could keep the Scottish thing going because you must have big country. They had an EP, I remember, Steel Town. Like, you know, you're not going to do
that. Got to be honest, my list does not have anything Scottish.
Okay.
No. But I am going to play a Kink song. They're not from Scotland. This is from an EP called Kink Size Session. It's in mono. This is a song that that I don't remember hearing before, but I own it, so I must have heard it. It's called I've Got That Feeling. On Rock Solid. Yeah, we did 60s and then a 70s right. And then an 80s and beyond.
I listened to all of that, but you also did a Petty one, which you should repost. I don't know if you ever do that.
Well, actually,
I really like the Petty one. Who's the guy you did
Jeff
it?
Tate.
Yeah, that's right, where he was like really all tens good. Or something.
Yeah. Tate out of Tate is what we call it. But Jeff's coming back. We're going to do a tribute to Petty
great.
Episode.
Great.
Yeah.
I love that episode.
Yeah, because really Jeff is so passionate, and I love Tom Petty. And he was like one of the first guys I texted when I heard, and he was like, dude, he goes, I'm crying.
I've never had as extended a sadness as this whole Petty thing.
Yeah, me too.
And like even today, today when we're doing this is Joe Walsh's birthday. So I went and searched my like Twitter, like pictures I've taken of Joe. Mm-hmm. And I found one from when Ringo got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame where it's Joe in profile next to Petty. It looks like Mount Rushmore. I still can't quite shake the weirdness, especially because I went to see him, you know, the last show.
Which was like a week before he died
or
something.
I don't know. I mean, I said it on the show. I cried in the car when they said, and I didn't know if you told me whenever, hey, when Tom Petty dies, you're going to cry. I'd go, no, I'm not. I like him, but I'm not going to cry.
Right.
But I was really like, oh, are you kidding me? It was really rough.
I'm having trouble with David Cassidy. You know, I'm just getting, I'm not taking these illnesses and deaths well.
Who knew that they would all come so in such quick? It seems.
I predicted this a couple of years ago to my wife because I'm working on like the Grammys and all. I'm acutely aware of the speed at which you're having to figure out how to do memoriams and all this. And I said, I just realized we've hit this unsweet spot where the generation that did a lot of drugs and didn't take particularly good care of themselves and, you know, drank them, you know, and destroyed livers and all, they're all, it's all coming due.
It's coming home to roost.
Like, for example, like,
but losing Bowie, Prince, and George Michael in the same year is pretty crazy. Shocking.
That's big. I mean, that's nuts.
And there's ones like, even though there was some incident like a week earlier or whatever with Prince, I never would have called that.
Never. In a million years. He was like a vegan teetotaler. Yeah. Like, what?
I knew.
He looked amazing. He looked the same forever.
Yeah, he wasn't aging.
Yeah.
Like Tom Petty. I look at Tom Petty. I'm like, Tom Petty didn't go for his yearly physical.
Right.
He just doesn't seem like he did. Bruce Springsteen goes probably every 3 months he's having it checked out.
He actually goes for Tom Petty's physical.
Totally.
What do you got? I can keep it Scottish.
I can play this.
Keeping It Scottish. Can we rename the episode?
Yeah, that's an episode. We could do a Keeping It Scottish episode.
These are my friends, Biss, and they are dear friends of mine. No, they're called Biss, and they're dear friends of mine.
What's Biss mean? Tell me.
I forget what it means. I think it was an acronym for something, but I forget. But they started, they're only a couple years
When the kids put you down, they say, in hip-hop, they say, I'm going to Biss you, man.
I don't think so.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I met them all when I was a teenager. They started, they were... Amanda, the lead singer, was a pen pal of mine and used to send me tapes, demo tapes. Like, this is my band. And they were awesome. And then they started pressing their own records. So she sent me all the 7 inches and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then the first time...
Let's not make it sexual.
Hey! And then... I'm sorry, 45s, old man. 45s.
Oh, yeah.
Us indie kids called them 7 inches.
Oh, boy.
You mean 78s?
And then I went to go see them in Scotland and stayed at their house a few times.
Every
and,
one of your stories is that they slept on my couch. I stayed at their house.
I don't have anything like that. Well, you didn't travel very much as a teenager. I
didn't. That's true. I did not.
I mean, what was I going to do? Pay for a hotel? No, I'm going to crash on somebody's couch.
You were. Your parents must have been so worried about you.
They really weren't because I'd never drank or anything. Mm-hmm. I was super responsible. Well,
but you can still be in harm's way even if you're not drinking.
Yeah, I mean, they. You know, my mom's a pretty worrying person, but at the same time, she knew I had my shit together.
Yeah.
I don't suffer fools, really. I mean, she kind of knew that, like, I wasn't going to let anybody take advantage of me.
Right. I mean, but you can do that. You can watch out for yourself and you can do all, and you can still, you know, get yourself and, you know, people are crazy.
That's true. But so
what I'm saying is we're lucky you're here and safe.
Should I never leave the house? I'm not sure what the solution is.
You can leave the house now. You're a grown woman.
Okay.
All right.
In full disclosure, she didn't 100% of the time know what I was doing. You know what I mean?
So she's a bad parent.
Have you?
I for sure lied to her sometimes.
Can I ask you another question?
Sure.
It's really my getting to know April.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Get to know her.
Have you found more bad male behavior that you've had to encounter in the comedy world or the music
comedy
world?
Comedy by miles.
That's...
By miles.
Okay.
The thing is I know you don't like him and he was rude to you, and it's weird to say this on record. I almost wanted to write something because my entire life has been following bands around, and I am a lady, and at one time was a young lady.
Now you tell us.
But I personally have been the luckiest person on planet Earth because not only have I never had any kind of shitty thing happen to me in that way, but Paul Heaton, there was one time I went to see the Beautiful South. This is what riles me up when people say, well, if you go to somebody's hotel room, you should just expect it. When it's like, I call bullshit on that for obviously a billion different reasons. Like, it's never, the onus is never on the victim.
I just want to, so are you saying that you are not a hashtag me too?
I'm not saying that actually. Oh, okay. I'm saying in a music specific instance, there was
not
a
making
time,
a joke, really asking that.
No, I'm not saying that. But as far as musicians, no one has ever done anything shady to me. As a matter of fact, when I was about 18 or 19, I flew to New York to see the Beautiful South, and they canceled because they wouldn't cross a picket line. The people at the venue were striking.
Right.
And Paul, being the staunch socialist that he is like, I'm sorry, I'm not going to cross this picket line. So the show was canceled. And when I showed up, and they were like drinking in the bar next door, and I was like, oh man, I just flew here from Atlanta. And he was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. He totally let me crash on the floor of his room. Nothing happened. Like I was staying in like some super shitty youth hostel. And I was like, cause they go, we're going to play in a few nights at this other place. And I was like, I can't afford that. And he was like, the first night let me stay in his room. The second night got me in my friend's our own room. Like, couldn't have been cooler.
So you stayed in his room with your friends too.
Yes. And like, okay, it wasn't just happened. You,
but still it wasn't just you.
Yeah.
You
but the point is it wasn't, it's a, that was a prime time to take right. advantage of somebody.
See, that's what's interesting. And you already sort of hinted at this, but like now, because I was, people keep asking me about the why no musicians. Mm-hmm. The weird thing is politics is like people who want to be rock stars who have no sex appeal or charisma or charm. And that's why you get they force the issue because no one, yeah, it's like they're wannabe rock stars.
I mean, make no doubt about it. The sexual assault is about power. It's not about sex. It's 100% about power. Well, most of the time it's about power. And so who has more power over you than somebody in a band that you like? They don't need to exert any power over you. They've already got it.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's part of it. And again, I've been in situations where I was with a band and like somebody else tried to like aggressively hit on me and the dudes in the band were like, don't do that. That was once Paul did that one time and like some rando guy at a venue tried to like do something to me and Paul was like, no, don't do that to her. And so but then that also means I've picked good heroes because like the guys I looked up to, not only did they not take advantage of me, but they actively protected me. Like knowing that I was there to see them and I was young and vulnerable. So I've been very lucky.
You have been lucky.
Yeah.
Stay lucky.
But I'm...
Tony boy, what is
it? I don't know.
Stay gold.
But yeah, but that's specifically for music. I've been around tons of creeps in comedy. Did we even
play this Biz song yet?
Nope.
Tons of creeps. It's called Dance to the Disco. I've been around tons of creeps at comedy clubs.
Yeah. Comedy clubs are way less welcoming than music venues.
Definitely dickheads. This is Dance to the Disco Beat. Where do I cue it up to?
Anywhere you want.
All right. Okay, now it's 9:01. I know you had a hard out at 9, so here's what we're going to do.
All right.
I'll play one song, mm-hmm. and then you can pick one for the play out.
Okay.
All right.
If you're not going to play Cheap Trick, well, I'm going to flip the fuck out.
Well, I have it. I mean, I have a song from Found All the Parts from 1980. Because I think I have some other good stuff.
Play what you want.
I'll play Cheap Trick.
I don't want to force you into that.
No, I'll play it.
It's about power.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not about sex. Clearly not about sex.
I'll play it. I'm going to do apologies to Susanna Hoffs, Billy Idol, Genesis, Soul Asylum, Bruce Springsteen, Cyndi Lauper, Ghost, Dire Straits, Marshall Crenshaw, and the Goo Goo Dolls. Apologies to all them.
I do not apologize to the Goo Goo Dolls.
You know what?
I refuse.
You know, the only reason that it's there is because they just released an EP like 3 weeks ago. That's the only reason it's there. Okay, this is Cheap Trick's. Their version of the Beatles classic Day Tripper. On the EP, you always thought it was live because they actually mixed in crowd noise and stuff to make you think it was live. And it was only, you know, a few years back that we found out
and
that
you
it was done in the studio.
Might be able to remember this. It was not only an EP, it was actually a new disc. NU, was it NU?
NU, D-I-S-K.
They were trying to market the EP as the new disc. Yep. And this was the best of the new discs.
This was the best of the new discs. This is Day Tripper. David, do you own a suit?
Yes, I do.
I went suit shopping this weekend.
For what occasion?
We're going to a wedding, and the two suits that I have are awful. They're just like They're just they're out of style. They're out of style.
Where'd you go? You go to a Men's Warehouse?
I went to a 3-day suit broker.
What's that? There's one out by you.
Yeah, there's one right out by me.
One out by you.
And I told the guy, I go, I want a suit that I would never, ever wear in my life. Like, you know when you see like the guy that has, and you would say, I would never put that tie with that shirt,
right,
with that suit, but that all works. That's what I did.
What color is it?
It's blue, but it's like a, it's kind of like the blue of your sweatshirt.
I have a suit this color.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Let's get our pictures taken together.
And what kind of tie?
It's a, I can show you. I'll show you. I'm going to show you. I have a picture.
Right. I want to know.
I'm going to show you. Because you're stylish. I'm not stylish.
Are you talking to me?
David. This is a, that's the suit and the tie and the shirt.
That's pretty great.
Thank you.
And did you get it tailored?
Yes. Yes. It's there now. I pick it up this set. And then I also got that shirt and tie.
Right.
But I got two suits. I got a black suit too.
I got my third, my mom with passed this, away with recently. That. And,
it's a great tie.
My brother sent me all these pictures, and my mom, I had this, my class picture. You're
talking about my suits.
I know, I'm kind of bored with it. I'm trying to think of the list.
Three-piece vests. Sure.
Cool.
I'll post pictures.
But my brother sent me a box of like everything from my mom had of me, and one of them was like a third grade like class picture.
Okay.
And I noticed it's the last picture of me in a suit and a tie smiling. Like, I've never been happy in a suit.
I'm not comfortable in a suit, but I'm going to try to be.
I love them.
I'm going to try to be. Okay, before you play your last song, mm-hmm. David, where can we find you on Twitter?
At Wild About Music.
Wild About Music. You are at APE, A-P-E-Y.
Yes, indeed.
I am at Pat_Francis. We are at Rock Solid Show. Patreon page is patreon.com/Rock Solid Podcast. April, you're going to be, you'll also be at San Francisco Sketch Fest, correct?
Yeah, I think I'm the weekend before you guys.
All right.
Yeah.
I think you're the 13th.
Yeah. Yes. I'm doing shows like 12th, 13th, 14th.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So if you're in San Francisco, and do you have any other shows before Sketchfest? Because that's a while away. We're in November. What are you doing? Just hanging out?
Kicking it. I'm going to Paris for Christmas. That's going to be dope.
Who are you going there with?
Just me.
Really?
So I'll be there for New Year's and Christmas, and that's it. I don't really have any shows coming up. I have some like in LA, like, you know, around LA.
And what rock star will you be staying with in Paris?
I don't know yet. I'll go find Jim Morrison's old hotel. Right. Or
I think one of
apartment.
The Stranglers, probably.
Yeah, if only. If only.
Well, thank you, David, for sitting in. And thank you and keeping the talking to a minimum. I appreciate it. Sarcasm. What do you got for the playout song?
Thank you
for coming, because you don't feel well today.
Yeah, you're welcome. this song is called Raised by Wolves by a band called Voxtrot from Austin. From the EP of the same name.
I have never heard. This is the first one of the bands I've never
They're
heard.
Rad. Well, I almost played Divine Comedy, but I realized I did play that when we did our favorite song titles, because it's one of the Divine Comedy song.
What's his name?
Neil Hannon.
Right, Neil Hannon.
I love him. Yeah. But that song, I know I played it on that show.
And yeah, this is
when I see Niall Horan, I always
Neil And
Horan?
You get your hopes up, and then you're like, nope. Yeah.
And again, this is Voxtrot, not Fox, not with a F.
With a V.
With a V.
Foxtrot is a Genesis record. We can also play that.
It is. The third one, I think, or the fourth one. Thank you, guys.
I was going crazy. I was desolate and ready to kill. But maybe I believe in another place. If you go, you won't look back. And anywhere you go, you know the ugliness will follow you still. Into waves, we are desperate, lonely, and underpaid. I'm a bitter man, I know, but listen, honey, you're no fun. I will never live like you, but you will probably die like me. All lovelessly and empty, full of God, and God makes plenty. You will go on searching for some. The background wouldn't even call me. Had the nerve to leave me. Go ahead and love me. I'm a hungry man. Ever since you went.